Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoes.
Clark in a straight check.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King Pegues.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson to the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Faxon Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. It is Wednesday, November 26th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us here on a Wednesday. 654-ROAR is the number. If you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams & Co. roofing text line, it would be our pleasure to have you here on the program. Man, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. A lot to be thankful for here in the upstate of South Carolina. A lot to be thankful for here in Tigertown. Let's have some fun on the program today from 9 a.m. to noon. We will have Chapel Fowler joining us in the upcoming segment to talk a little bit of Clemson football. Might have some Thanksgiving superlatives for him as well and run through some fun topics throughout the course of the program today. We will also have R.J. Godfrey from Clemson men's basketball joining us at some point in the final hour of the program, likely closer to 11:05, so make sure you're tuned into that. Want to ask RJ how the experience was down in Charleston. Obviously getting two big wins for the Tigers, who are now sitting pretty at 6-1 and really starting to turn some heads nationally. I mean, if John Rothstein's throwing passive-aggressive tweets 7 games into the season, you're doing something right if you're Brad Brownell. So shout out to Brad and the guys for getting it done this past weekend down in Charleston. It was a blast to watch them and excited to catch up with RJ for sure. We'll also run through some of the men's basketball results from yesterday. We'll talk NFL Thanksgiving, give out some picks and plays. We'll talk college football and give out some picks and plays. And then, of course, we're talking rivalry week and rivalry weekend. And I'm getting a gut feeling, John. I'll just go ahead and throw a little bit of an upset pick out here. It might not even be that big of an upset. I think Jeff Lebby's going to get Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss this weekend. I think that Egg Bowl, we might see something weird. That's always a competitive game. Lane might be 1 foot out the door. There might be something to that. So I'll walk out my take on that later in the weekend. But I think college football has a chance to get wacky Wild West this upcoming weekend with the college football playoff on the horizon. Should be a lot of fun on the show today. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. And on that front, John, it's a very special day for you and yours today. So I will give you the platform to kind of notify the audience of what's going
on. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm very happy that today is my daughter's first birthday. So happy birthday, little one. You've made it a year. Most importantly, I think mom and dad survived the year. So very excited. I was very almost had like a, you know, it's funny we're bringing on R.J. Godfrey later on in the program. Almost had to do like a box out move on my wife, like to defend the pain of like, no, I get to be the first one to go into her bedroom this morning, not you. Because I want to be the first one to wish her a happy birthday. So, very excited. We got some stuff planned for today with some family getting in town for Thanksgiving. Obviously, we'll do the big day tomorrow with the bird and all the fixings. And then we'll have a little birthday party for her Friday afternoon. Looking forward to that.
That's awesome. That is awesome. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in. We'll talk a little Thanksgiving stuff here in the first segment of the show. Then we'll shift gears to sports with Chapel. A couple texters are getting in saying congrats, John. Obviously, yes. Get in, show John and his daughter some love on the text line, his family, on a very special day here today on a Wednesday. But, John, let's take this in the direction of Thanksgiving here for the last 10 minutes or so of the segment. Do you guys have any Thanksgiving traditions in your family? Like, what are the big deals in the Height household, extended family? Walk us through the Thanksgiving Day routine. Where are you going first? Do you have, like, a lunch and dinner situation?
We're going to do the one meal. This is kind of our first real take at it with kind of the changes. My parents retired up here earlier this fall, so this will be the first Thanksgiving. They've been traveling up here for it, but this will be the first one that they're going to host the dinner tomorrow evening. Got some extended family. They do kind of their thing out on a farm in Liberty for a little while during the day. So I'm going to get up and bravely run a 5K in the morning. So that's nonsense. Not sure why I agreed to do that, but we're going to go do that and then have a nice little breakfast and then probably just, you know, take it easy. We normally eat around like four or five somewhere in there so we could try to avoid as much of the Dallas Cowboys as possible.
Oh, yeah.
TV's off during the meal, so we're not watching the Cowboys. And then, you know, kind of take it easy and, you know, get ready because we've got a big show Friday at Chick-fil-A. And, like I said, birthday party on Friday. So it'll be a little bit of a different Thanksgiving, but we're going to have a pretty full house and looking forward to it. How about y'all?
I think we run the ball on Thanksgiving is the way I would describe it. We've done like the same thing my entire life. Go to my mom's side for lunch and then go to my dad's side for dinner. So you kind of obviously... I didn't grow up here, even though my whole extended family does live here. Like, my grandparents on both sides have lived here for ages. So Christmas and Thanksgiving growing up was always a commute day, which, to be honest, comes with some pros and some cons. Like, on Christmas specifically, it kind of sucked because it was like, oh my gosh, you get so many new gifts. And it's like, I don't get to enjoy any of these for four more days because we were immediately on the road up to Greenville and then staying for a couple days. But Thanksgiving has always been pretty easy and pretty simple. Go to my mom's side of the family for lunch. Go to my dad's side of the family for dinner. Nice little routine there. And it's good times. It's good vibes. Food, from a food perspective, it's usually different flavors for the different sides of the family. Like, I wouldn't say there are pros and cons to both sides of the family, like as far as the dining goes in this scenario.
I thought you were going to say pros and cons about family members, and we were going to air all that out.
Oh, yeah, no, we can save that for a later program, maybe on Friday. Check back in with me after Thanksgiving.
Well, let's see, after the family festivities, guys, then we'll start calling people out for their behaviors.
Then we'll start giving first name, last name, and calling people out. But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. That's just kind of our little routine is getting both of things knocked out in one day. But it's always good to see, like, our extended family and the cousins that come down. Thanksgiving is when a lot of people from my extended family will come down on my dad's side for whatever reason. Like, that's always the way that we've done it. Never been able to make it work at Christmas because they have different obligations. And then, like, some of our cousins are always moving around with their jobs and stuff. You know how life gets. It gets crazy. But Thanksgiving on my dad's side has always been where the extended family and the cousins and everybody are able to get into town. So yeah. I think that's a little bit more special on that side because on my mom's side, everybody's a little bit more local. And I'm grateful that I get to see all of them pretty much on a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis here as an adult. So it's pretty nice, and that's for sure. Texter says, John, you doing the turkey trot in Central tomorrow morning?
I will not give away the location of where I am doing it, but there will be a turkey trot being had. I don't want anyone to know how he's this slow, fat guy running around.
Okay, so explain the concept of a turkey trot to me, because I've always heard the term, and like I understand there's like the – but like what's the
– It's a five – I mean, it's just a – you know, most towns have them, but it's just a 5K. I think there's like a 1 mile, and I think there's a 10K as well if you want to do it. But it's just a way to go out and get some exercise in before you become a lazy slob the rest of the day and just eat food and watch football for several hours on end.
So is it like a run off the calories, but like you're running off the calories prior to indulging?
Yeah, go ahead and get the work in, and then you can put on your stretchy pants and sit around and eat food all day.
Okay, let's talk Thanksgiving Day football. What is usually like how attentive are you to the television during Thanksgiving? And what do you ever prioritize watching a certain window of game?
I think normally because we've always eaten around four that it's always just kind of been like, well, I guess I'll watch the Lions. And most years that's not very entertaining. This year, I think we're actually have a pretty good game.
Yeah.
So normally I pay more attention to the Lions game at one than the Cowboys game at four. It's just natural. I mean, yes, you know, Cowboys, insert your Cowboys joke here. But mainly it's just because we always eat around 4.
Okay.
And I'll be honest. I think that the Thanksgiving football has really taken a hit because we don't play college games on Thanksgiving anymore.
I agree with that.
Like, the Egg Bowl needs to be tomorrow night. Texas A&M should be tomorrow night. Now, listen, I am happy for those who, like, do what we do, right, who work in, you know, radio broadcasting and things, who don't have to spend their Thanksgiving on a campus and putting on a game. Like, I'm very happy for those. But, man, I wish we had more than Navy and Memphis tomorrow night at 7:30 from a college standpoint.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times in years past, the Lions have not been able to live there into the bargain. I mean, there's so many times where it's like Bears-Lions and it's two backup quarterbacks squaring off because it's a Thursday game in the middle of the season. You know, I wish we had more of a college flavor to it, because by the time we get to the night game, I'm a little NFL'd out by having to watch the same two teams every single Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I wish we had more variation. That would be my only complaint.
I get why we don't. I really like Detroit there in that spot. It's kind of just become a habit. But I would like to switch it up a little bit.
It's always going to be interesting to see the Cowboys game. So I remember the Eagles played on Thanksgiving in 2015, and the Lions beat us 45-14. I never want to play on Thanksgiving again. I can still see Calvin Johnson head-topping Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher in my nightmares. Like, I think Calvin Johnson had 8 touchdowns on that
Bradley
game.
Bradley Fletcher mention on their bingo card for the show today. Goodness gracious.
Horrible player. Horrible player.
I hope he has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I hope he has a horrible Thanksgiving, and then I hope Santa gives him coal for Christmas, because he was the contribution to many mental health issues as a child growing up in my household. But in all seriousness, this is the box score from the last time my team played on Thanksgiving. Starting quarterback for the Eagles. Would you like to take a stab here? Here's a hint. Butt fumble.
Oh, that was that game?
It was Mark Sanchez for the Philadelphia Eagles. Matthew Stafford goes 27-38 for 337 and 5 touchdowns. Calvin Johnson, 8 grabs, 93 yards, and 3 touchdowns. The Eagles' starting running back was Kenyon Barner and DeMarco Murray. We're taking trips down memory lane this morning.
Looking up your boy Fletcher here, because, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Iowa grad, third round pick, 66 overall. Here's a little note from his Wikipedia page about his time with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's like 2 sentences. Fletcher signed with the Eagles on March 12, 2013. In 2014, he allowed the most yards in the NFL and the second most touchdowns allowed. After 2 years, the Eagles decided not to re-sign Fletcher, and he left in free agency, where he signed with the Patriots, played for 2 games, and then was released. That was the end of his NFL career. He allowed the most yards in the league, 1,072, and the second most touchdowns, 9.
Yeah, I wasn't being hyperbolic. That's one of the worst players I've ever seen play in my life.
There'll be a little bit of an eye roll on this side of the glass with some of the hyperbolics. No, this is warranted and justified. This guy stinks.
It was him on one side and Kerry Williams on the other side, and it was just like, I begged for corners, and the Eagles really didn't have that bad of a team.
Secondary. Was this coming right off of like the Nnamdi Asamoah dream team assimilation? So you had to eat a bunch of dead cap and just fund a team.
This was like you were in like the weird transitional period where like you tried the Michael Vick thing, and then you traded for Sam Bradford, and then Sam Bradford got hurt, and so then you were rolling out Mark Sanchez. There were some Kevin Cobb appearances throughout the course of that. I wouldn't wish it on my word. That was a really, if you want to ever know why I have such like a gravitational pull and emotional connection to Carson Wentz of all people, and I'm probably the only one on planet Earth, it was because I felt like that guy took me out of the trenches. I had never seen good. I went from like growing up on McNabb and always being disappointed because he's a loser, just to be honest. I don't like Donovan McNabb. And then I got my hopes up so high for the dream team, and I was like 9 years old, so I fell into the gimmick and thought we had the best team in the NFL. And then it was just like 5 years of ugh. And Carson Wentz was just like the saving grace. I had never seen a good Eagles team in my life prior to Carson Wentz taking us to the playoffs, and then Foles won the Super Bowl and all that. So that's kind of the lore as to why I love Carson Wentz, because I grew up with Mike Vick, then Kevin Cobb, then Mark Sanchez, then Sam Bradford, and Wentz was like the guy that literally took me out of the trenches. So there's a little bit of facts and lore from an Eagles fan perspective. But yes, if you have not watched Mark Sanchez quarterback your team on Thanksgiving, take that. you should be thankful for that here today, because it's not a fun experience. I can still see Calvin Johnson in my nightmares, still to this day.
Well, Clemson fans don't really have to worry about that, because he didn't score that time in Death Valley.
That is true. When's the last time the Steelers played on Thanksgiving?
We played the Texans 1 year in the night game. I remember, this is about 10 or so years ago. I remember Nuke had a very big game, I believe, in a Texans loss to the Steelers on Thursday night. If I remember correctly, that may have been a Christmas night game now that I'm thinking about it. But I do remember being at my parents' old house watching that either Thanksgiving or Christmas night. Now I'm confusing myself as to which holiday that was.
I will say this, too. I did a quick Google before we take a quick break and visit with Chapel Fowler. If you want some bragging rights here today over my Carolina Panthers, 2015, you guys played the Panthers on Thanksgiving, and you destroyed them 37-3 on Thanksgiving. And that was when they had Cam Newton. Goodness me. Okay. That's a big-time win. I guess that was Big Ben.
Oh, that was definitely Big Ben. That was probably, like, second year in the pros, Antonio Brown. Like,
yeah.
Le'Veon Bell was still a thing. So,
yeah.
Those were good times.
Wildly unrelated. The Antonio Brown stuff is so sad, like, from an off-the-field perspective, because I will still maintain I think that's the best receiver I've ever seen play. Like, as far as a... Like, he had, like, a 5 or 6 year stretch where it was him and Julio Jones as 1A and 1B, and they ran the league. And then Odell had a little, before Odell blew his knee out, Odell had a little run where he was in that conversation as well, where he had the world in a choke after making that one-hand grab. Man, good times, good times. I think that...
And then they put on Tim's and got on a boat, and the Giants have never been the same.
Yes, yes. The cursed boat picture. And then they came out shirtless in warm-ups in Lambeau Field, and Odell's like hyping up the crowd, and they got blown off the face of planet Earth.
Tennessee fans, you know
what
we're talking
Earth.
About. You don't show up shirtless in a cold weather game. You're gonna get beat.
You don't do it. You don't, especially not against Jeremiah Smith. What are we thinking? All right, quick break here on the program. We're having some fun here today, the day before Thanksgiving. Thankful for everybody tuning in. 654 Roars, the number. About to talk some Clemson and South Carolina football with Chapel Fowler right after this.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings. There are few better duos out there than college football and chicken. Kwok here, and I'm happy to report that Wendy's has officially launched their highly anticipated chicken tender. They're larger, better, and more premium than anything you'll find in the market. Along with new tenders, try 6 new and improved dipping sauces, including Wendy's signature sauce, sweet chili, scorching hot, and my personal favorite, honey mustard. New chicken tenders from Wendy's. So when you think Wendy's, think tendies. Try them today at your local Wendy's of Anderson, Oconee, or Pickens Counties.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. Work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Sparkburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
I'm not here to make friends with insurance companies. I'm here to win for injured people, period. When they delay your treatment, lowball your claim, or ghost your calls, that's when we step in. At Tramlin Mills Law Firm, we take it personally because it is personal. Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at tramlinmills.com. I'm Trey Mills. When you get hurt, we bring the fight.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Get ready for the City of Malden's annual Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m., brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
ESPN Bet is becoming the Score Bet this December. The same betting app you love, with a new look and promos curated just for you. Existing ESPN Bet customers don't have to change a thing. Your account, wallet, and bets will all remain the same. Plus, kick things off right now by logging in and claiming a 100% profit boost. More action, more rewards. More for you. The Score Bet, coming this December. 21 plus, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Joined by our weekly Wednesday guest in Chapel Fowler from the state. You can find him on Twitter, X, whatever you'd like to call it, at Chapel Fowler. Chapel, happy Thanksgiving. Excited to have you here on a Wednesday, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Our last one of the football season. It's crazy. I appreciate the opportunity and early happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too. I'm calling in from my wonderful hometown of Denver, North Carolina, outside Charlotte. So I'm ready to go for Turkey Bowl flag football tomorrow and a lot of eating as well.
Okay, so you gave us a little bit of a glimpse. Peel back the layers. What are the Thanksgiving traditions in the Fowler household? What are some of the go-tos tomorrow that we need to know about?
Yeah, so we have a pretty big family, a lot of cousins in their early 20s, mid-20s, some younger kids as well that'll play. So we'll do a bigger flag football game. We can usually get to up to about, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 people on a team. And we have flags. And, you know, one of my uncles was a high school principal, so we've got some old jerseys from, like, the early 2000s that got thrown out at North Lincoln High School that are ours now. So we do that around 3, and then we eat around 6:30. So I kind of work off some calories and then eat, like, 6 times that a few hours later, which is kind of how it goes on Thanksgiving. So it's a pretty good time.
That's what Thanksgiving's for. You know, you get yourself in a position where you can eat as much as possible. I feel like that's the goal, and if you're comfortable with that after what the afternoon showcases, then go back for seconds, go back for thirds, maybe even go back for fourths. Nobody's going to check you on Thanksgiving. That is for certain, as we continue to visit with Chapel Fowler here on the program. Well, Chapel, before we go full-blown rivalry week South Carolina talk, what were your main takeaways from the Furman game? I know, obviously, this wasn't some unbelievably entertaining football game for a litany of reasons, but there were some bright spots for the Tigers, some players that excelled, and the last game in Death Valley for those seniors definitely always creates an emotional vibe.
Yeah, I think you saw the fan base kind of rally around that senior group, and you know, it wasn't a night kickoff, but just given 4:30 kickoff and we're late into the winter now, it kind of ended under the lights. I think you saw a lot of people really excited to get on the field and kind of soak in that last time in the stadium. Obviously, they haven't had a ton to cheer about there, you know, first losing record at home for Clemson, 3-4 since the 1998 season, even with those back-to-back wins against FSU and Furman to end stuff. But, you know, I thought Denson was really fun to watch. It's probably kind of telling that, you know, you put your first-team defense back in to get the necessary stop, and then instead of, you know, putting in your number two quarterback, you keep the number four guy in, and he's the one that gives you the spark. So obviously they like Denson. I thought maybe that game was not the most, you know, glowing endorsement of Vezina in other ways. But I thought that was, you know, their big highlight. I think bringing in the first team defense was a notable thing that happened. You know, that doesn't exactly give you great vibes. They struggled in short yardage as well, I think, on offense specifically with the first team. So some stuff I'm going to be watching out for this week. And obviously the injuries to Lawson and Pat Henry as well. But overall, you know, you punch your ticket to a bowl, and that's kind of what that game was for. So they got that job done.
Yeah, got the job done, and that's ultimately what matters. A couple texts flooding in for you, Chapel. JD in Piedmont says he was able to meet you at the Anderson Touchdown Club, called you a great guy, and said he's great at what you do. So hopefully, it sounds like,
yeah,
JD's thankful for you, Chapel.
That is so nice. I appreciate that, JD. Yeah, it was great to meet him and his son over there at the Touchdown Club. I went to see Tom Allen talk about a month ago. And I think JD's son was like the kicker of the week that year, or that week specifically. He was booting them from 40 plus. So yeah, that was a fun time. Tom was a great speaker, as you'd imagine.
Oh yeah, he's intense. Love hearing Coach Allen's commentary. Another texter getting in with a question for you, Chapel. What are your thoughts about a potential Chris Denson package this weekend, and what would he call for Denson if he could? So I guess this is OC Chapel putting you in the booth, I guess, with a headset. But Chapel, I'll take that in a different direction as well. I don't know what the availability looks like after what Coach Sweeney gave yesterday during his commentary in the press conference. My understanding is that Denson's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now after practice.
Yeah, that was a really interesting admission by Dabo, and I don't know. You know, there's a point to everything he says. Excuse me. So, you know, he usually is not going to reveal something like that. Kind of my gut hearing that is you don't really say that unless you're not expecting the guy to play a huge role in the game. So yeah, he got his foot stepped on and walked through on Monday, is what we were told Tuesday morning, and Dabo just wasn't sure of his injury status. You know, I think he was really exciting against Furman. I think, you know, even with all that in mind and how even keeled he is and obviously how fast he is, you probably do want to think extra hard about trotting him out there against South Carolina, just in that road atmosphere, tough rivalry game. You know, I think this is something that Larry Williams reported a few days ago, that for that SMU game specifically where he had that one rush, it was his first snap of the season, and he had like a 2-yard rush. Apparently that was like a package, and Deb even said that postgame, that was more a package of, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 plays that, you know, were installed and ready for usage against SMU, and obviously just that one play happened. So, you know, they flirted with it at times this season. I think if there's any game to pull it out, this would be the one. You kind of, you know, put all your cards on the table. You know, this is a win they really need and really want. So I could see it. But I think just all the context in mind and this injury we heard about, I don't know, if I were to flip a coin, I'd say it's more likely than not that he doesn't appear, whether that's for injury reasons or just, you know, trying to stay safe reasons. But I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. You know, if I were the OC, which I'm not, I might trot him out there just one time and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I'm at as well. We got a couple texters chiming in with, you know, this and something along those lines, saying Clemson fans do realize that the success was against backups on a low-level FCS team. I think that is a fair takeaway, but I also think the other side of that is that he's been running scout team quarterback against a P4 defense and Clemson's defense the entirety of the season. And every indicator would be that he has seen signs of growth and progression. We're not saying to start the guy. I don't think anybody is claiming that he should be the quarterback of this team right now. But it is fair to assess that Clemson has struggled in short, down, and distance situations this year. And they have also struggled in the red zone. And having a more mobile quarterback option to maybe run a zone read type of thing, especially in those third and twos or maybe your third and goal from the two, something along those lines, that's kind of where I would angle maybe getting Chris Denson in the game. But Chapel, the other side of that, as you alluded to, is he is a true freshman, and that does come with the cons of if things go wrong and he fumbles, Dabo is ultimately going to have to answer for that.
Yeah, and it, I don't know. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday at the presser. I think it was Corey Fravel. We were just thinking about some of the weird stuff that's happened in this rivalry and kind of the trick plays and kind of cute stuff that hasn't always worked. Do you remember that really odd, like the kick return fake handoff thing in 2022? They had just scored on the safety. They were up maybe 16-7 against South Carolina, and then I think it was Moffin Shipley kind of botched a kind of trick play kickoff. I fake it, you take it, and then Moffa fumbles it. That type of stuff. And Dabo would talk yesterday so much about turnovers, and how that was kind of the death of them in that long losing streak they had from 2009 to 2013, and how those can really swing the game, and how they won the turnover margin last year and somehow still lost. So that's like a really important thing for him, it seems, in these games specifically. So I think with that in mind, too, that's another probably we won't see Denson point. but, I mean, he gave fans something to be excited about. So I understand all the discourse. There's not much to be excited about this season at various points. So the fact that he was able to rip off those runs like he did, he got his – nickname from you and everything. I like talking about him this week. It's better to talk about him than not talk about him. It's fun.
I agree. And also, you know, Chapel, you put out the tweet of Dabo's press conference as well about him addressing the team in the post-game press conference. I got to admit, obviously, I think that there is a little bit of a jump the gun factor that's transpiring within the fan base. Shocker, right? College football fans are overreacting. When has that ever happened? But in all seriousness, a true freshman having the command and the respect in the locker room to address the team after his first extended action, what does that mean to you, and where is your viewpoint on that, of what that could mean going forward for Chris Denson as the potential QB1 for this program one day?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool little factoid revealed on the radio show. I mean, talking to him post-game, and Faxon, you were in that post-game scrum as well, that guy was steady, man. He was... Yeah. Relaxed, he was joking, and not like this is a bad thing, but I think he was a better quote than a lot of guys we've talked to like multiple times this season, like juniors, seniors, and that's not saying that, you know, everybody has to be perfect with the media and people approach it differently, but he just felt really comfortable in that setting in a way that I really haven't seen a ton from freshmen. Like, he was basically already like a seasoned pro when it came to sitting down and chopping it up with us post game, and that's a very, very, very small part of being a quarterback. That's not the main thing. But certainly some, you know, natural leader and kind of comfort in those moments vibes. You know, I think there's a ton of development ahead for him as a passer, and probably putting on a little bit more weight to get to the point where he can really challenge for a role like that. But I think, you know, to hear all season about, oh, he's working, he's getting better, and then to really see it, obviously, you know, against a lower level of competition, I mean, I understand why people are excited, and I understand why the coaching staff is excited, and for him to want to pop up and talk to the team post-game, I think it's certainly not nothing.
All right, Chapel, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be selfish before we let you out the door. From a Chapel Fowler standpoint, where would you like to see Clemson play in a bowl game?
Oh, my gosh. Great question. I want to say the Sun Bowl is like on New Year's Eve, and then there's another bowl game that's really early before Christmas on the 19th. It might be the Gasparilla Bowl. Something that kind of bookends the Christmas schedule and doesn't impact the holiday travel plans for anybody is probably my preference. But if that can't happen, I'd just like to go to a bowl I haven't been to before, which is probably going to be in the cards, considering where Clemson has been in recent years and where they are right now. So I'd take the Fenway Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl, one of those outdoor ones in a baseball stadium. That would be cool. I think all the bowl games are kind of being projected toward right now are new ones, I think, for most people on the beat. And if all else fails, you know, maybe the Duke's Mayo Bowl wants to take him and we can see a potential Dabo mayonnaise dump, and that one would be a very easy drive for everybody. So I don't think they're really in contention for that one. I haven't seen that one floated a lot, but a lot of fun options. But not close to Christmas is probably my number one preference.
Okay, I think that's more than fair. Before we let you go, Chapel, I'm going to put you on the spot. Carolina Panthers, do they get the job done in the NFC South? Do they find a way to close this thing out with the Baker Mayfield injury, or is it going to be more disappointment in the great state of North Carolina for Panthers fans?
I wish I could say they're going to get it done, but I'm expecting more disappointment after that Monday night game. That was such a – like, it made me feel bad for Clemson fans or South Carolina fans. Anybody who really sits down and watches these games that we're covering as a fan, like I did that as a Panthers fan last night, and it was just a reminder of how maddening that can be. Like, I would have been so mad Monday night after seeing some of the stuff they did. Oh, my gosh. I think they lost a lot of their momentum that night. I think you – all their flaws as a team. So, you know, Baker Mayfield on one shoulder is probably still better than them.
Yeah, it was a disappointing Monday night for sure. You get three picks in the first half. You go to halftime with 3 points. What are we doing?
I know.
Man? Goodness gracious. And that second pick from J.C. Hornchapel, they showed the all 20. I see the all 22 tape of that on Twitter. He made one of the best reads I've ever seen in an NFL football game. He had it in the back of his mind from that motion to go to that wide bunch set. He came flying across the field, and I would love to slander Brock Purdy. That wasn't on Brock Purdy. That was just an unbelievable play by J.C. Horn. And then, obviously, he was concussed because it's the Panthers, and he can never have too much in the state of North Carolina. Chap, on that note, I'll let you get out of here and plug your stuff. Where can our audience check out your great content at a time like this?
Yeah, thanks. So my Twitter is at Chapel Fowler, first name, last name, and thestate.com/sports is our website for everything Clemson, South Carolina. We've got a lot of rivalry game stuff up and continuing to post this week heading into Saturday. So should be a fun one, and appreciate y'all's time today and this season.
Appreciate it, Chapel. You've done a great job all year. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we get to do this one more time before a cool bowl game that does not align with the Christmas travel schedule. Does that sound good?
Absolutely. Happy to do it then or any other time.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Chapel. Appreciate you.
Thanks. Both of you also.
Thank you, Chapel. That's Chapel Fowler with the State, at Chapel Fowler on Twitter. Go give him a follow. And I'm sure you guys have heard of Chapel by now. Does a great job on the Clemson beat. Quick break here on the program. We'll talk a little more Tigers and Gamecocks right after this on The Roar.
Clemson, South Carolina, a tale as old as time. And we'll get you ready for kickoff right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, starting at 6 a.m. with the Ingalls Tiger pregame show. We'll have everything you need to get you ready for kickoff. Then the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon and his crew will take over at 9. Don, Tim, and Reg, you'll have the call from enemy territory. And Dono Clark and I will wrap it up with the fifth quarter show. Finish up the 2025 college football season with us right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hello, Medicare recipients and Roar listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low-income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and/or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Missing shingles, granules in your gutters, or water staining on your ceiling are all warning signs, visual cues that your roof is in need of repair. The next time you check your mail or back out of your driveway, take a glance at your roof, Make note of any damage and call Adams & Co. Roofing for a free no-obligation roof inspection. Adams & Co. Roofing's expert team members will assess the damage and provide top-quality repairs if needed to keep your roof and everything under it safe and sound. Don't wait for a small issue to become a big problem. Call Adams & Co. Roofing today.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
The Walhalla Performing Arts Center presents a holiday celebration steeped in Celtic tradition. A Celtic Angels Christmas, live on stage Sunday, November 30th. Step into a winter wonderland of music and magic as the Celtic Angels deliver a dazzling performance of traditional and contemporary Irish tunes, all wrapped in the warmth of the season. It's a festive experience for the whole family. Captivating, spirited, and unforgettable. Tickets are available now at WalhallaPAC.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
It's game time at Linden Floors. Huddle up and score big with unbeatable deals like luxury vinyl flooring starting at just $1.99 a square foot. That's right. Style, durability, and value. All in one winning play. We're family-owned, Spartanburg strong, and ready to tackle your remodel. Swing by 101 Chester Street or call 864-494-4317 to get in the game. Or visit us online at lindenfloors.com and make your home the MVP this season. Linden Floors, where design scores every time.
East Main Furniture and Easily pre-Black Friday sale is going on now. Save 30% on all in-stock furniture, including Lazy Boy recliners. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, mattresses, and occasional furniture. This is the best sale of the year. You don't want to miss out on the lowest prices of the year. Hurry in for the best selection. Special ordered furniture will have some discount as well. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-442-6054 today.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower, the list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. If you have real estate needs here in the upstate, go with Morgan Coleman. Morgan Coleman Real Estate. Four words on Google, the most easy way and simple way to get in contact with her. She's a Clemson women's soccer alumna that's going to bring a team-oriented approach with expert understanding of the area for all of your real estate needs. Whether you're a buyer, whether you're a seller, that fall market's coming to a conclusion here soon, folks, and you want to make sure an expert can take care of you. Morgan Coleman is that expert. She is the way to go when it comes to real estate needs here in the upstate. Sellers' homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase. Get in with Morgan Coleman. Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. That's Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. And we appreciate Morgan Coleman and all the great work she does here in the upstate of South Carolina. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to get in. Texter says, pray for me, guys. I put U.S. currency on ECU basketball yesterday despite your warnings. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to just charge it to the game and move on. That one's one of those moments. You know what you're getting into with ECU out in that athletic department if it's not baseball or football.
Talking about the ECU game yesterday?
Yeah, they got blown out by like 33 points.
Yeah, I told you not to do that. I advise you that that was a horrible use of your U.S. currency. I like Coach Schwartz. I think he's actually a pretty smart basketball mind. This team's just bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're not good.
You got to have players. They don't have players.
I'm not trying to sit here and take shots at Tybo Bailey. I'm not, but like, he gave you 6 points in 31 minutes yesterday. What do you want? I mean, Jordan Riley was out here just trying to chuck it in the Atlanta Ocean, 4 for 12 from the field in 32 minutes. So
yeah, not great.
I tried to turn it on for all of a minute. I thought about our texter yesterday when it threw better judgment. We told you this was what was going to happen. I tried to watch it. There was like a big transition dunk for Michigan State. I made it like half a possession. I was like, all right, I'm done with this.
Yeah, which is more than fair.
I did watch some of Maui last night. Okay. I did watch Maui, and that's early for me to dive into the Maui fun.
Man, I love the Maui tournament. There's something beautiful about it. I love this time of the year for college hoops. You know, that's my thing. I'll tell you right now, if I had a national championship pick and I gave out like my Final Four or whatever preseason and I threw this team in because they bite me in the butt every year, but I will say it's a safe floor pick, Gonzaga. Gonzaga looks so good this year. This is the best team Few's had in maybe a decade since they went to the championship game against North Carolina. They are really freaking good and experienced. Now 7-0, they just pillaged Maryland yesterday, 100-61, and that was off the back of beating Alabama, which is one of the best teams in the country. Keep in mind, this is a red flag that I'm waving. I fall for the gimmick every year with this team because they are an analytics darling, and then they make the Sweet 16 / Elite 8, and then they lose in one of those games. But if you're looking for a high floor pick come March, death taxes Mark Few rolling out of bed and making the Sweet 16 every year.
I've got a college football question for you going into this weekend.
Okay.
Now, this being rivalry weekend, obviously our attention is going to be focused on Clemson, South Carolina. Well, we'll have 6 o'clock Tiger pregame, 9 a.m. Tiger tailgate, kickoff at noon, fifth quarter after that. We have a full day for you on Saturday. We all know that is the number one game this weekend. That is the most important thing that is going to take place between now and Monday morning when we get back in here. We will be live Friday at Chick-fil-A, by the way. But what is, and it's not in turn, maybe it changes by year, but I want to remove Clemson, South Carolina from this conversation for a second here. What is your favorite rivalry weekend matchup that is not the Palmetto Bowl?
This is a great question. 654 Roar, I want to hear from y'all as well.
Yeah, because as great as this game is, and it, like I said, it is the number one of the weekend. We know that. But there is still so much great hatred spread across this great country of ours that we get to experience over the next few days, over the course of this weekend. Like, I know it is not the – I'll get one started for me personally. I lived in the state of Virginia. I went to a military school in the state of Virginia. I've spent about 6 years of my 37 years of this earth living in the state of Virginia. Even though it is like put in the state constitution that Virginia Tech will beat Virginia, I love that game. I love what it means to the state. I love what it means to the people of that state, and it's something that they really do care about. We're getting several Army-Navy texts. Completely agree with that one. Not this weekend, but yes, that should be near the top. We've got a few Iron Bowls getting in, Ohio State-Michigan. I guess some people care about that. Georgia Tech, although that's kind of like the Virginia Tech thing, the competition doesn't really match the hatred.
Yeah. For me, to be honest with you, it's an easy answer, and I'm not really sure why, because I don't have like an emotional attachment or connection to either team or school. It's the Iron Bowl, and it's not even close for me. For whatever reason, I will say this about Auburn. This is one of the only compliments I will ever give Auburn football. There are very few things that get me fired up for a game like a night game at Jordan-Hare. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm biased towards the kick six because that was like a big memory for me in my childhood growing up, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever at the time. And I think everybody that wasn't a Bama fan growing up in that era grew up a Bama hater. But
sure, yeah.
I just feel like that matchup is always just completely chaotic, haywire, drunk, regardless of how good the two teams are. And that reminds me of Clemson and South Carolina from that perspective. Because regardless of the quality of the two teams, the game is always going to end up competitive one way or another, even if it's Jake Bentley throwing for 500 yards out of nowhere and South Carolina emptying the clip to still give up 56.
There's so many yards, though.
So many yards.
They lost by 21, but I don't think we understand how many yards he really had that day.
Dude,
so many yards.
They pulled out so many trick plays in one game. It was like legitimately they threw the kitchen sink, and Clemson was just like, yeah, we're going to roll the ball out and score 60 because we're better than you. Screw you. And that was...
Well, we were. Yeah. And that emphasis, that sentiment still applies.
100%. But yeah, for me, it's the Iron Bowl, man. Like, I just have so many vivid memories of chaotic games and chaotic endings. I'll never forget... Live on the air 2 years ago in Houston for a more recent memory. 2 years ago in Houston, I'm with Kwok at the Van Chancellor Classic in the last year of the Amanda Butler era with women's basketball. And we were courtside. And if you guys know Kwok and I have gotten into a routine, and I think he would tell you the same thing as well, where when we are on women's basketball broadcast, we usually have a game up on one of our laptops and we'll put it in the middle because there's usually a football game on. So this past weekend, for example, this past game against Furman, we had the men's basketball game up because obviously we have to do our job as well, right? So like we're doing our job calling the game, and then during the break, we'll both be huddled around the computer watching the men's basketball game.
We don't need you giving touchdown calls in the middle of a women's basketball game.
Exactly, right? So Kwok and I have like a system that we've been able to establish, and it's a great system. So 2 years ago, Van Chancellor Classic, we are pregame for women's basketball, and we take a break at the perfect time because it's right before 4th and Milrow, John. You remember that one where it's Bama's season and Nick Saban's final year, and we didn't know it was Nick Saban's final year at the time. Bama's season's on the line. It's 4th in a freaking eternity, right? And Bama looks like they're up against it. They're playing for their chance to go to the SEC championship game, which they inevitably beat Carson Beck in Georgia, and then they should have beat McCarthy. I'm still pissed about that semifinal. Anyways, getting away from the topic here. We're watching that. And I just remember Kwok and I both losing our minds when he came down with that ball after the crazy Milrow scramble and chucking it up into the end zone. You've got that. You've got the kick six. You've got hatred. I remember growing up turning on SportsCenter about the story with the trees and that being a big deal between Auburn and Alabama. There's just so much hate present between those two schools, those institutions. And I think there's something different about a rivalry, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, when state bragging rights are on the line. Those are my favorite rivalries, is when you can win your state. Clemson, South Carolina, Kentucky, Louisville, Auburn, Alabama. Those rivalries mean more to me than the non-state rivalries like an Ohio State and a Michigan. And it's not to discredit those rivalries and say they're not as intense, but there is a little bit different of an emotional feel, John, when you get that state bragging right for an entire year over your rival.
Oh, absolutely. Either your state bragging right or your border state bragging right, like Ohio State, Michigan, or Iowa, Nebraska, you know, something like that. Yeah, I think either a border rivalry or an in-state rivalry, something where the fan bases have to interact with each other quite a bit, you know, definitely allows for more hatred. Also, I like it when you have more of, like, that's kind of the whole state is invested in that. Like, I'm not throwing a shot at the state of Texas, but there's 400 colleges in the state of Texas. It's hard for everyone to really, you know, have a take on Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Although very excited that rivalry is back and renewed. I think that's going to be a good one Friday night. Need the Aggies to take care of business. I don't want to hear about Texas anymore.
I don't want to either.
I don't want to deal with any more Texas. I'm
Longhorn
done with Texas.
Nation, we're back.
Goodness
that's the
gracious.
Worst. That's the worst quote in the history of ever by Sam Ehlinger. And it's also taken away from the fact that they actually have been back the last couple of years and been pretty darn good. That's just, I kind of feel bad for Arch this year, to be honest with you. I don't really feel like he's been that bad, all things considered. I don't think his team is very good around him. They need a better team headed into next year. But getting off topic, Texter gets in and says, I think the Egg Bowl is underrated. I can see Kiffin walk off the field and put an LSU hat on immediately following the game. That would be a little tarmac action.
I think it's going to be interesting. You know, with that one, because you know they've talked, the statement came out earlier this week, that announcement will be made on Saturday after the game. This game is played at noon. Do you know how much time there is for news to break between then and Saturday morning? I'm also expecting like he's going to do it live on game day. I haven't read that anywhere. It's just a gut punch that he's going to go live on game day, and we're going to recreate the LeBron decision live on game day Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think there's a non-zero chance of that transpiring. I'm not ruling anything out with Lane Kiffin. I think that's the mentality that I choose to approach that guy with, just from a general sense. And I'm not ruling anything out when it comes to Lane Kiffin. Texter gets in. One thing about the Egg Bowl, I'm trying to remember the year. I was either a freshman or a sophomore in college on the road with women's basketball, and Do we remember the whole incident of the guy lifting his leg and
Elijah
peeing
Moore?
In the end zone? Yes.
Yeah, Elijah Moore changed the trajectory of college football as we know it with that move. No, absolutely.
Literally.
Yeah. No, there's writers who have done like actual documentation of like, you know, the meme where it's like the one domino into the big one. Like,
yes.
Like the Elijah Moore fake dog urination. Like really set off a whole slew of coaching changes and things that we are still dealing with today in college football.
I remember that. I don't remember what road trip we were on. I remember watching that in a hotel bed and just saying, oh my gosh, what just happened at my television out loud when he lifted his leg and fake urinated. And then Odell Beckham did that in the NFL as well against the Eagles and also got popped for 15 yards. And that ended up costing Ole Miss the game, which was just hilarious. All right, quick break on the program. We're going to have some more fun on the other side, talk more rivalries, talk a little bit of Thanksgiving. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in with Faxon and John.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.